It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, happy anniversary, Giles.
Yeah, fuck off.
It is our ivory wedding anniversary
today.
Which
is why we just had a massive row. It's funny enough, we were saying to some people last night, some cousins, some relatives, who listened to the podcast, and I was saying, you know, and they go, oh, we like the podcast. And they go, well, about three times in 5 years, there hasn't been one, because we had a row that was so bad.
That I walked out of the house, turned round, saw you were sitting at your desk in the bay window and flipped you a double bird and then texted you, fuck you, exclamation mark.
When was that? But this is all part
that of... That was ages ago.
But I don't remember that. It's all part of the row we were just having. It's all based around the fact that you remember fucking stuff from ages ago and get all traumatised by things, which I don't understand, because you're supposed to forget arguments and rows and that's how you move on.
Right, okay, well, let's not dwell.
And we nearly didn't. Well, no, let's not dwell, but you're going to suppress it and then it'll come back in 9 years.
In the divorce negotiations. We partly had a massive row because the problem is that the papers are just, I mean, the papers are full of news, but it's not very...
Sometimes they're so full of news because war's just broken out, or Brexit or something. We've been Monday, Tuesday, nothing in the papers, really hoping something today, and there really wasn't.
And there just really isn't anything in the paper. And there's stuff, there's plenty of stuff in the paper. There's, you know, Hugh Edwards has gone, you know, whatever you think about that. Lots of Rwanda stuff rambling on, lots of kind of, you know, Gaza stuff rambling on. But nothing for you to particularly to really write about. So heyday, if you're sort of Roger Boys or someone like that, you're in clover. But
certainly the Rwanda bill going through the Lords was a thing. Yes, it's. Do you know what actually is interesting? The thing about the papers, there are no culture wars stories.
Do you think culture wars is now over?
And everyone was going, culture wars are over. Culture wars are over. Cash report. Stonewall's going to have to backtrack. And there aren't really any cultural stories. And if it really is over, we're a bit screwed because we've got so used to that being the meat and drink for sort of 5 years.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think you do that much cultural stuff.
Well,
you?
The closest thing is the story today that these spears have to go back to Australia from the Captain Cook exhibition. One almost doesn't want to tuck in anymore because there's no real way of doing it. It's not absurd. That they should be returned.
Not at all. Very much a returner. Give everything back.
But the weird thing is, it's only these four spears. Haven't they got loads of spears? No, they haven't got loads of spears because they were basically Stone Age people and they lost them and broke them and threw them away and had no value of that sort of thing. So the only reason the spears exist at all is because white people who collect things went there and collected them. And they only collected them after they'd been thrown at them. So there's a sort of... that's as close as we've got to, which is the argument about the Elgin marbles. They only still exist because we took them away and put them in the British Museum. And if they
are, you saying that the rest of the Parthenon has crumbled to dust?
Basically, yes.
Has it really though?
Basically, it has.
Are you making this up?
Technically, it's still standing there. No, the air pollution. Yeah, but made a great mess of the thing.
I can tell by the look on your face.
And if they know, because the Parthenon marbles,
yes.
Would take, they don't call them the Elgin marbles because he was a racist, but the...
Did he pay for them or did he just take them? That's what I'm always really curious about.
I think
about.
He paid, but he paid another English person.
Oh, did he? Because when we went, we were recently in Botswana and we stayed in a place that had a lot of kind of curiosities. And I'm always interested to know, were they paid for?
No.
I think some of them were and some of them weren't. The Benin bronzes, were they paid for? Did someone go along and go, oh, I like those, I'll give you blah, blah, blah for it?
Gave them loads of beads.
Do you think it was beads?
Basically. They were outwitted by more advanced financial wizardry than they had yet seen. And they now realise they've been screwed, but it's a bit late. It's just like Bitcoin.
Got it.
So there's a story, British Royal invited me to orgy.
Which one was it?
Claims actress Rebel Wilson. Well, that's what you want to happen. That's the sad thing about the... And again, these are the ends of the culture war stories, like Hugh Edwards. You know, which was a fishing trick, wasn't it, by the Sun? It was like, they did it that way so that people would spend a week going, oh, was it Gary Lineker? Oh, was it Jeremy Vine? Was it Simon Cowell? Was that thing...
Kind of like a treasure hunt.
Yeah, and in the end, the story was just all a bit sad.
But Hugh I just don't think that that's a culture war story, though.
What?
I think that the Hugh Edwards thing, I think that would have been a scandal in any day or age.
True. But so it just brought me... There is the Rebel Wilson story, and we talked about that the other day.
Yeah, she's sort of trying to flog her memoirs, isn't she?
So there we go. So she... British Royal invited me to orgy, claims actress Rebel Wilson, and you read the story, and it's sort of not really true. She goes to a party, and she says... I got thrown a last-minute invite to... She's Australian, right?
That's right. So wherever you're doing, like Germany or whatever it is.
That's to throw you off the scent. I got thrown a last-minute invite to a tech billionaire's party. The guy who invited me, who's like 15th or 20th in line to the British throne, said to my male friend, we need more girls. And it's like, well, he... It's like, no, he doesn't exist. She doesn't. It's not real, because...
Was she just talking to Guy Ritchie and she got confused?
She was. Australians think that everyone's in line to the throne, and we're all more in line to the throne than Australians.
15th, let's have a look. Who is 15th in line to the throne? 15th currently is called James Mountbatten Windsor, and he's 17 years old.
So it wasn't him probably invited. Who's 14th? Because he'd have been 15th before the Queen died, whoever's 14th. Who's 14th?
The Duke of Edinburgh.
He's dead.
He's not dead.
Oh, he's just changed.
Who is it now?
It's Matt Smith now.
It's not Matt Smith.
Jodie Whittaker.
No, wait. It's Edward. Edward is the Duke of
Edinburgh. Doctor Who I was thinking of. So Prince Edward is 14th. So he'd have been 15th. So it could have been Prince Edward that invited Rebel Wilson to an orgy where they did MDMA.
Yep,
and who's 20th?
Isla Phillips.
Okay, who's 19th?
Savannah Phillips.
Who's 18th?
Peter Phillips. Peter
Phillips basically invited Rebel Wilson to an orgy, but basically didn't. She's made it all up. She's gone to this party, and she said, I watched the British Royal flounder around while I continuously hike up my boobs, because she's worn something a bit kinky to this thing. And then someone comes out with a large tray piled with what looks like a ton of candy. I'm like, ooh, is that candy? Because we've all seen Rebel Wilson. And the guy holding the tray says, no, this is the Molly. And I turn to the screenwriter I've been talking with, confused. He says, oh, it's for the orgy. It's about to start. The orgies normally start at these things about this time. Made up story, made up story, made up story. Silly, silly, silly woman writes book, makes claims about Sacha Baron Cohen when still nobody buys her boring bloody fat book. Then she comes out and goes, having done sexual harassment, she goes, royal, royal, royal. And then she goes, orgy, orgy, orgy. And I think to myself, autobiography bingo. This boring book by an actress no one cares about. First of all, she said, oh, I was exploited for my body. Then they were mean to me because I was fat. They only hired me because I was fat. And then she's got royals, and then she's got orgies. It's like, what do we think Rebel Wilson is going to say next?
All her claims are also very, very vague as well. And there's just so many didn't happens in that book. I mean, in the printed book, so she has not managed to get past Baron Cohen lawyers, and she loads of the book is redacted. So in the book, it's just black lines because they haven't been able to get it past.
Now, what did Prince Harry do? He shagged a barmaid in a... He wrote about losing virginity to a barmaid.
I don't think she was a barmaid, but she was a...
She worked in a pub in the Cotswolds.
I thought she was a groom.
No, she worked in the...
All right. Okay. True Gilly Cooper style, she was a groom.
Okay, so Rebel Wilson will now reveal how she lost her virginity.
Yes,
too. And that'll be to... someone who she didn't want to do it with.
Well, famously, she didn't lose her virginity until she was 35. So I think it's quite well documented who it was. But I couldn't possibly be less interested in Rebel Wilson.
She will talk about how she had a twin who died at birth.
Maybe. Definitely, there's definitely a load of like eating stuff in there.
What other claims is she going to make in the culture wars? That she sometimes feels she thinks she might be a man?
Or she's neurodiverse, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, so I've been struggling. I've just got an ADHD diagnosis
Every single famous person in the world.
Yeah.
And there's like, this is just like not remotely a surprise. Famous people have all got ADHD. it's very explicable.
But she hasn't actually said it yet, but she would normally.
Not yet.
What about my great-great-grandma was an Aboriginal?
Oh, yes.
So there, I've always felt like a First Nation.
So First Nations
I'm
heritage.
I'm not really white. I've always felt like an outsider.
Yes, exactly. So it's definitely going to have some kind of First Nation heritage claimage. That's good. That's really funny. But I don't think you can write about her again. It's the only thing.
Oh, I wrote about Sacha Baron Cohen, but I know what you mean. Because I'm just thinking I could write my autobiography.
With autobiography bingo.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But how about this story? How about how you're not old until you're 74? Well, there's a clutch of age stuff, isn't
so
there?
So where's the not old until you're 74?
So the Times is yesterday. Reece Blakely, qualifying for a free bus pass in your 60s used to mark the moment when middle age ended and the twilight years beckoned.
Right, Reece Blakely, 23.
Yeah. However, a study suggests that old age isn't what it used to be and that it is now seen as starting at 74. The point at which people are considered old appears to have been pushed back as lifespans lengthen.
Lifespans lengthen, yeah. Yeah, it goes with two other stories I feel that
old.
I think are good.
But there's that thing, there isn't that thing. Who is it who's trying to live forever? John Cleese.
So, John Cleese, well, we've got two age stories. We'll come to John Cleese. There's one that says saying back in your day could be unlawful. Saying back in your day to an older colleague, writes Jonathan Ames, the legal editor, could be the latest working class working place. Could be the latest workplace legal trap thanks to a judge's comment in a case involving a nursing assistant. So Patrick Quill, an employment tribunal judge, said the barbed and unwelcome expression. Somebody said blah, blah, well, they didn't do it like that back in your day.
Yeah.
Which is, now, your day, now that we're getting old much later, maybe back in your day wasn't as long ago. There's a sort of the sensitivities around old age as you push it further and further away until no one will consider them old.
Consider themselves old.
And the person who doesn't consider himself old is...
John Cleese.
And it's his story in the Times as well.
Although he does consider himself old.
Which is why
he's using stem cell, I think it's in today's paper, he's using stem cell therapy in order to sort of remain...
John Cleese has said that he's trying to slow the ageing process by spending up to 17,000 a year on stem cell therapy.
17,000 a year?
70,000 a year.
Where's he getting this from? He's constantly going on about how he's broke because he's been married so many times. He keeps having to give his
wife
money.
But this is exactly the story. The thing about that is exactly what rich old people do.
I'm afraid John Cleese is a little bit of a pest. And he, and also, I just never thought Monty Python was funny.
And he gets introduced.
I did quite like The Life of Brian, and I love Michael Palin, but otherwise Monty Python was just a bunch of, I don't know.
What they say about it goes 84, the Monty Python star who also wrote and acted in Fawlty Towers, it's all 50 years ago.
Yeah.
The thing that poor Cleese suffered with was people saying the other projects were no good and weren't funny, which isn't possibly fair because what he had done was so brilliant. It was very, very hard for later things to compare. But he's very bitter about the fact that people thought he wasn't funny. Then he married all these
He's constantly marrying different women, and the marriages were constantly breaking up, and I just don't think that's a very good
and
song.
Now he's got into this place where he's obviously kind of alone and unhappy, and he became very quite sort of Brexity, I think.
Yeah.
Certainly became very anti-immigration.
He's
now got to a point which these lonely old men do when their work at best thing is behind them, the thing that defined them, in his case 50 years ago, and they've had all these marriages. Now, for some inexplicable reason, he wants to live forever. Mm. And they get into the sort of drinking the blood of virgins phase of their life, which is like Elon Musk and Bezos and people. There is a certain point that comes, and it's obviously come for him, where, you know,
where
your
despite,
work on earth is
gone. Despite doing all this stuff, and, you know, God, I don't really like Monty Python, but it was a big deal. You know, if you'd done Monty Python, or you'd done Fawlty Towers, or you'd done, I don't know, Clockwise, or you'd done A Fish Called Wanda or something, and that was your big thing, you would just think, brilliant, I've done that. But for some reason, it's sort of not enough. There's a feeling that he hasn't done the thing that he's supposed to do yet or something. I don't know what it is.
Or he's still really, really angry that people think that was his best work, and he wants to live another 100 years so he can persuade them that they're wrong.
I think he's just been sort of driven mad by the public doing the Ministry of Silly Walks whenever they see him going by.
Yeah.
I'm very sympathetic.
Never, as you always say to me as a consolation, you'll never get too famous or too successful.
Fuck no.
Because it's only downhill.
You don't want people shouting your catchphrase at
just
you.
Just struggling
very
in the
annoying.
Gutter.
Just be happy that you can pay your electric bill.
No one can say it's not what it was. Giles Corran has no idea. There was never a time when it took over the world and after which nothing was ever the same. Aim low and succeed.
Yeah.
The point about it is that I think for in terms of a columnist, John, the cliche of, you know, I can collect my pension. I'm 55, so I can start to draw my private pension this year. But I'm not old, because the papers say that it's 19 years
till
I'm 74. When I'm 84, like John Cleese, I can start trying to live forever.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. And what certain kinds of men do when they get there, they do plastic surgery, they go to the gym all the time, they go on mental diets, and then they start doing the stem cell therapy, and then they plan to go and live in space.
Yeah,
because they've gone mad, and
that's like the what's that picture with the gorilla turning into the person?
The Ascent of Man.
The Ascent of Man. Yeah, exactly. It's almost like backwards. It's almost like the other way. And then what happens after that is that you do
go and live in space.
You have a monthly blood transfusion from like a 17-year-old boy, and then you go get plastic surgery, and then you go and live in space. What was Liza Minnelli's husband called? David.
Guest.
Just took a picture of him into your esthetician going, can you do this?
Maybe like that. You know, The Bride of Wildenstein, can you do a bloke version of that? we had this thing, we've been watching this.
It's a brilliant series on Disney Plus. Okay, it's called Feud, and there are two seasons. The first season is the feud between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, which is great.
Yeah, move on to the thing we're talking
and
about, though.
Don't hassle me.
Feud. I'm having a feud with my wife about.
And season two,
which
is about Truman Capote and his quote-unquote swans, who were Slim Keith, Babe Paley, Lee Radziwill, CZ Guest.
And the reason I bring it up is because brilliant, though, our friend Tom Hollander is in the role of Truman Capote.
He's very good.
Really, really, really excellent. The thing they've got a problem with is that there's these four, five, six old ladies, or ladies in their 50s and 60s, and in one case, 70s, that he's hanging out with. And in casting actresses of that age now, they've all had plastic surgery. So they all look like a face that's been stretched over a lathe, with their eyes turning around and almost meeting at the back of their heads. And they're sort of gritted mouth like that. And no movement on their foreheads. We speak of Demi Moore, Jessica Lange.
Lang.
And the casting, it's just really odd, because it does, you know, this. He has his black and white ball in, what, 68, 67, something like that. They all show up at this ball. They do not look like old. If you want to get people who look like old ladies now, you've got to get our mums, who can't act. But old ladies in Hollywood all have done this ridiculous thing of...
Well, it was like the drama about the Sex and the City actresses, all of whom have had work except Sarah Jessica Parker. She has had no plastic surgery at all. And all the others, everyone went, oh my God, they're so plastic, they've all had the surgery. And then Jessica Parker, everyone, oh, she looks so old, you know. It's like, well, what the fuck do you want? You know, what do you want? It's all so beauty myth. It's just so that.
The book by Naomi Wolf.
Yes.
Or Naomi Klein.
It's Naomi Wolf, I think. She wrote The Beauty Myth, and it's basically about how, you know, and fat is a feminist issue and all of that. It's kind of like, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. I plan to just get hold of whatever stem cells John Cleese is getting hold of and drain your bank account, sticking them up my nose or whatever it is that you do. Right, should we move on? I like this crow story in Tokyo, but you don't like
it. We're going to get on to your excellent, okay. Yeah, no, good.
Well, no, because you're not going to join in. No, I will
do everything I possibly can.
No, you're not. You're not. You're going to sit there and just look at me with that face
on. Sorry.
Tokyo tells crows to beat it in their own language. A crow repellent device deployed to rid Tokyo of its bird pest problem has been declared a success after scaring off the scavengers with recordings of their own calls. Very self-explanatory story. Yeah. So crows to Tokyo are like pigeons in London. The crow controller consists of an infrared sensor.
He does sound like a bat villain.
And allowed so
these,
the crow...
All these crows he's now wrangled. They've all gone from... they're going to come back and use them to invade Taiwan.
His little crow army. And a loudspeaker that emits 10-second bursts of angry caws, the equivalent of an aggressive, get out of here! Yeah. It was developed by Crow Lab. Crow Lab.
What else does Crow Lab do?
It's a company spun off from...
Pigeon Pharmacy.
Some university I can't pronounce, in 2017, based on analysis of more than
So what's Crow Lab going to do now? This is an accident waiting to happen. This is like Jurassic Park. This is the... There shouldn't be a place called Crow Lab. This is what happened in Wuhan. This
okay, listen. Because the thing is, if Crow Controller can say, get out of here, can they not also say, rise up with me against
yes, President... Yes. He's not saying get out of here. He's saying, muster in Okama. Okama. What's the place called?
Where?
I was trying to think of a Japanese place name, but I couldn't think of
Kyoto?
One.
Kyoto?
What's the one? Yeah, exactly. Muster in Kyoto and see me back here in 3 weeks.
With dollar bills in your beaks.
There was a thing there was a meme on Instagram I was looking at this morning, which apparently cats, I mean, you know, I get
exclusively cat
tits,
content,
cricket and cats, yeah. I get. And I'm happy.
Yeah.
But the cats go underneath trees and they kind of go and they're trying to imitate the calls of the birds so that they come down to investigate.
Like that. They at windows, normally they go...
It's the same sort of thing.
And they sort of go, yeah. And it's not very good because I wonder what bird is going to be fooled into thinking that cat with the big teeth and the ears and the massive eyes is somehow a bird. Well, they can see them from a mile off and they go mental.
Okay, so what else are we going to do with this story?
The crows thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's as far as I got. But I wondered if it might kind of spark your imagination about, you know... Other things that we could say to animals if we could speak to them. Don't shit there.
Give us a blowjob.
Fucking hell. Okay, forget it. Forget it, forget it, forget it. To sheep, stop looking so stupid. To horses, slow down.
To sheep, it's like, are you dead?
Yeah, exactly. Rats, stop chewing that. Bunnies, chew that, it's cute.
Oh, I'll do that.
Did you know what I mean about I'm not going to do this if you're just going to sit there with the face on?
No.
I just had to carry that whole crow story all by myself.
Well, you did fantastic.
And you're sitting there going, and just thinking about your lunch. You're such an idiot.
The one about friendships. Okay, we could have an actual conversation. Yeah. I know we have one of the areas of our row is that there's a thing where the moment you start talking about the difference between you and me, and in fact, my sister and me, and in fact, all journalists in me, is that I don't see anything as being off the table. So I quite like tackling head on and talking directly about absolutely true things. So stop me if at any point this conversation becomes something which for you is not performative enough and is too real.
Performative. Ugh.
The story is, call an old friend, we're just as likely to pick up litter. A study suggests that most of us are reluctant to reconnect with old friends with whom we've lost touch. Even when we're still fond of the person in question, often we're as eager to reach out to them as we are to strike up a conversation with a stranger or to pick up rubbish. And it goes on. So we have this negative voice in our head that tells us people don't want to hear from us, says some academic. We are especially surprised in this case, in doing this research, that it happens even with people you were once really close to. Then it has all the stuff about people are happiest if they've got a healthy social network, a variety of friendships, but they don't, we feel too awkward after a certain amount of time. We have feelings of guilt. We don't reach out to people. And I thought that was quite interesting.
Okay.
Why don't we? Because I genuinely feel the lack of a healthy social
network.
Just
because you never, ever, ever, ever drop someone a text, how are you doing? I think men don't really do that.
Yes, it's true. Men communicate with each other and usually they say, shall we meet up and have a drink? And you go, yeah. And we go, when? You go, oh, probably next week sometime. And then it all fades away.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a way of, that is still, though, a way of staying in touch with old friends and communicating. The desire is there. Someone says, I'd love to see you for a drink. And you go, brilliant, when? And they say, never. It's never good for you because no one actually wants to do it.
So there are people you want to drop, but the researchers asked participants to rate them. I mean, it's always this thing, marking shit out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. How do you scientifically test measures?
The researchers asked participants to rate their willingness to immediately carry out a range of tasks, including calling or texting somebody they'd lost touch with. And then they and picking up litter and, you know, cleaning the bog and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they all went, because it's a thing you think you can put off. And I sit about and I think about old friends of mine who, you know, and it's like they're somewhere far away. And I will text them, but really, are you going to be around? Yeah, we should meet up for a drink. Okay. But you're never going to go, how are you? How's your marriage? Are the children?
Well, maybe that comes out later. There was a brilliant story in the paper about maybe 18 months ago about the Shed Project, which is about trying to connect men to each other via sheds. So you have a kind of a shed space. Men come in and sort of tinker about with sort of broken vacuum cleaners and stuff. And the person who set up the organisation said, if you put 8 men in a room and get them to talk about their feelings, they will just go, absolutely not, you know, I'm out. But if you put something broken in the middle of the circle of 8 men and say, can you fix that? After 2 hours, they'll be best friends going for a drink. They'll know everything about each other and, you know, that kind of thing. So there are absolutely sort of gender differences in this. And I think that, and I also do think that I understand where the participants are coming from when they say it'll be awkward or it's too sort of effortful and weird. Most of the people that I've lost touch with, I've lost touch with because they've left London or our lives are just completely different or it doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't bother you. You think that I make unnecessarily choose to become melancholy about the social environment. And you think that it's fine, and you think that most people don't have all these friends. You think I imagine that everyone's out there having a big social network when actually what I have is fine. But you sort of say, you know, you've got lots of friends. And I do, but I see a bunch of people who are kind of available for going out to eat in the daytime. And then there's an element of some of them just come because I pay the bill, maybe, which makes me a bit sad to think about. And then also everyone, there's always drinking, and I've got to it in my life, I don't want to be drinking all the time, and men get together and they drink. I feel there's a lack of kind of family friends. You know, I sort of imagine, I want there to be people who are, you and I are both friends with, and our children are friends with, and on Saturdays the doorbell rings, hi, and all these people come into the house, and you're even making faces at the thought of these people coming into our house. But I'm sure that's how some people live, and they're all friends with people down
the
road.
You have to be so incredibly tolerant, not just as a person, but as a family, for those relationships to work, and you're just not. You're just very, very irritable.
Or a gang, where you go and there's like 7 of you. I think people go off and blokes go off, they all go cycling together or go off and like,
The fact that you've got to the grand old age of 55 and you just know yourself, you just have no kind of self-knowledge, and the fact that you're just so not okay with who you are, it's just very sad.
I hooked it to 84 and then doing stem cell therapy, and then I would eventually work out how to get myself a friendship group.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.